We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, Lakers Nation. Welcome into the LakersNation.com podcast. I am Trevor Lane, and it's game day. Lakers, Kings, tonight. This is a big one. The Lakers, they've been playing much better basketball of late. They're moving up in the standings. They move from 10 up to 9. Ideally, they'd like to move even further. They're 6 games over .500 right now. And tonight, they've got a chance to close the gap between themselves and the Sacramento Kings. So this is a big one. As you can see, if you're watching this on the YouTube channel right now, I am still in South Carolina, but I will be back in studio for the game tonight. So that means come join us over on Playback, playback.tv/LakersNation. That's where you can watch the game directly with us, or the YouTube channel, youtube.com/LakersNation, to see our game play-by-play. Again, big game tonight. Can't stress that enough. I'm going to break down tonight's matchup. Also have a little bit of news to get into. Probably going to be a little bit shorter show than usual, just as we get ready for this game and I get ready to travel and get back into the studio in time for the game. Now, I will say I am recording this before the Kings play the Bucks here on Tuesday evening. So I don't have the results of that game. All I can say is, number one, I hope the Kings lost. I hope the Kings lose that game. That's the most important thing. And number two, I hope it went to like quadruple overtime, because the Kings, they'll be playing on the second night of a back-to-back. It's been a rarity this season for the Lakers to be on a rest advantage in a game, but that will be the case when the Lakers do take on the Sacramento Kings here on Wednesday evening, or tonight as you're watching this. So important that the Lakers take advantage. And once again, it wouldn't hurt if the Kings and Bucks game would go to like quadruple overtime. But the most important part is that the Kings need to lose this game. We need the Bucks to take care of business. So we'll see if we can get that to happen. But Lakers Kings tonight. First, a little bit of news, and this was coming out of Lakers practice on Tuesday. Darvin Ham let everybody know that Gabe Vincent has been cleared. Now, he's been cleared to return to practice, but the non-contact version of practice. So he has returned on the court, but is now doing non-contact work. So obviously, this is a ramp-up process right here. And this is what we heard the other day. I talked all about it on the show already, that Gabe Vincent, he was going to go through the steps and get closer and closer to returning. Shams Charania from The Athletic said next week is really when the window will open for him to potentially return. So he gets in a practice, he does non-contact work first, and then that's going to progress. Sometimes you see a guy do contact, but it's like simulated contact where they already know where the bumps are going to be coming from. And then there's full contact, which is another step where you really, you know, you're out there playing, right? You're just playing and you're taking bumps and everything and you don't know where it's going to come from. That's a different level as well in terms of the progression. So right now he's at the non-contact stage of things, and that means that he is getting closer to a return. That means he's doing the stops and the cuts and all that sort of stuff that he needs to do to get back out on the court. So Gabe Vincent's return is imminent. No update though on Jared Vanderbilt in terms of when he'll be returning. All we know is that the Lakers, sounds like there's optimism that he will be back this season. But remember, just 16 games left. That clock is ticking to get Jared Vanderbilt back on the floor and get him back to being the guy that we saw, the guy that was so phenomenal in the final 5 games before injury. That was the guy that we saw last season as well, the guy who can be such a pest on the defensive side of the ball, the guy who can make things happen, he's got to have time to not only get back onto the floor, but get his rhythm, get his timing, get his energy, all of that back to where the Lakers need it to be. And again, the same will be true for Gabe Vincent as well. Now, the Lakers guard rotation is going to be really something to watch when Vincent returns. Spencer Dinwiddie, the Lakers brought him in to essentially fill the Gabe Vincent role, who was essentially filling the Dennis Schroeder role from last year. So now, with Dinwiddie in the fold, what does Gabe Vincent's role look like? Because it kind of went away at this point. It's kind of gone. Spencer Dinwiddie took it over as the third guard. So what happens with Gabe Vincent when he comes back? I'm not expecting major minutes, but how exactly does Darvin Ham utilize him? And does this just become him throwing out now four guard lineups with Vincent, Dinwiddie, D'Lo, and Austin out there at the same time? Look, regardless, it's a good thing to have good players back. I don't seriously think Darvin Ham is going to use four guards. Okay, all right, maybe I am a little bit scared that he's actually going to do that, but it's always a good thing when you can have good players back in action, and I think Gabe Vincent can be that. A lot of people just roll their eyes and say he's not any good anyway. I'm not going to buy into the idea that he really is like a 12% three-point shooter, which is what he is on the season, in a five-game sample size. He's got a long career of being better than that, and so I'm not going to just accept that, oh, he's suddenly this terrible player. I do think it's going to take time for him to get his legs under him, but nonetheless, I'm still excited for the return of Gabe Vincent. It's going to be important that he gets back in action for the Lakers. He's able to get back out on the court, and he's able to step in somewhere into the rotation. I think they can use more pesky defenders. The team has really been lacking on the defensive side of the ball. Their offense has been great. I mean, again, not good, great offensively. They've been shooting the three. They've been cutting more, been more off-ball movement. That's looked really good. But the defense has been struggling, and I think that's an area where Gabe Vincent can help you, to a greater degree where Jared Vanderbilt can really help you on that side of the ball. So again, good news here on Gabe Vincent that he has now progressed to non-contact work at practice. We'll see about Jared Vanderbilt in terms of when he can actually get back out there onto the court. Cam Reddish still dealing with that ankle injury right now, listed on the Lakers injury report. We'll see if he's good to go or not. LeBron James is questionable. Cam, I believe, is probable for tonight's game against Sacramento Kings. AD is probable, LeBron questionable, but that's pretty typical. LeBron James tends to be listed as questionable for every single game. I would have to imagine, given how important this game is, that both LeBron and Anthony Davis will play for this one. All right, let's talk about the game itself, because as I said, this is a big, big matchup. If the Lakers want to move up in the standings, they need to win this game. The problem is that was also true a week ago. They literally played exactly one week ago, and the Lakers had that great first quarter. We thought, oh my gosh, this is fantastic. They recognize how big this game is. They're going to beat the Kings. They're going to move up and all of that stuff. And then the Lakers fell flat in the second quarter, and the Kings won the second quarter by a bajillion points. And the Lakers lost the game. The Kings kind of cruised the rest of the way. The Lakers defense couldn't get stops. The Kings offense was red hot. They've got a lot of guards out there that can really give the Lakers problems. And so what you need to see in this one, because now you're down 3-0 to the Kings on the season series. So what that means is that home court advantage, or the tiebreaker, is gone. You don't even have a shot at the tiebreaker at this point. So even if you were to meet up with the Kings, say in the play-in, they're probably going to finish ahead of you and finish with home court. It kind of gives the Kings an extra game in terms of the tiebreaker, because they've got that 3-0 edge right now. It could be 3-1 if the Lakers can win tonight's game. It gives them an extra edge in the standings, because if the Lakers and the Kings finish with the best record, the Kings will finish ahead of the Lakers. So the Lakers have to finish one game better than the Sacramento Kings. But nonetheless, you still want to push a loss onto their record, of course, and a win onto yours. How do you get that done? So a lot is going to be made of the defense. A lot is going to be made of trying to corral De'Aaron Fox, who had 44 points the last time he played the Lakers. He was tremendous getting into the paint. The Lakers had this goal of, we're going to force him to his right. That did not work at all. And we're going to force Malik Monk to his left. That did not work at all. The Lakers really struggled to contain their two high-scoring guards. So a lot's going to be focused on those two guys. And defensively, it should be. Look, what you really need is you need De'Aaron Fox to hit like 30 points or something like that. Like, he's going to have a big game. But he's going to have a big game. There's no way around it. He's going to have a big game. You don't have the guard defenders on this team to deal with. Yes, Spencer Dinwiddie is somewhat equipped to deal with the situation. Max Christie, I think, is a guy who can defend the position, but he's still going to score. And especially when he's got Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell on him, he's going to score the basketball. And look, Austin and D'Lo, I'm not saying they don't compete defensively. They do. But can they stick with De'Aaron Fox? No, very few people can. So the Lakers are going to be at a disadvantage there at the guard position. And then Malik Monk comes off the bench, and he can be a flamethrower too. So really, you have to keep De'Aaron Fox to, say, 30 or so, and then you can't have blow-up performances from a bunch of other guys. Unfortunately for the Lakers, that's exactly what happened. The Kings got 44 from De'Aaron Fox, and then got blow-up performances from everybody. Everybody was hitting threes. You had Davion Mitchell was four for four from deep, and the Lakers schemed him open, and he still knocked down threes anyway. He was red hot. So that's going to be a challenge in this game. It's, can you not stop De'Aaron Fox? You're not stopping him, but can you corral him a little bit? Can you stop him from going absolutely ballistic and hitting 44? Can you keep him at 30 points or so, maybe a little bit less? And then it's everybody else. Can you prevent, like, a, I don't know, 4-for-6 three-point shooting game out of like a Harrison Barnes or Keegan Murray or one of the other guys that the Kings have? That's going to be really important as well, keeping the other guys from getting going. But all of that is going to come down to two things. That's going to come down to the Lakers' defense, their attention to detail on that end of the floor, the things that the Lakers specifically do. And then what's in some ways out of their control, it's...
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are the Kings just hot from the field? Because when they're hot, hitting threes and such, it can be really tough to defend them, even if you're playing great defense. We saw a number of times. Look, the Kings got a lot of open looks last time around, but we also had a bunch of possessions where you look out and you say, wow, the Lakers actually played great defense there, contested the shot, and the guy just made a great shot. And so what you need is you need, number one, good defense consistently throughout the game. That's going to be really important against this Kings offense. But then number two, you need a bit of luck on your side, frankly, and that's true in just about any game. But you need your opponent to not have an outlier shooting night. And we saw that last game. The Kings, they had an outlier shooting night in a lot of ways. A lot of guys who typically don't make that many threes. And that's not me saying that they are bad shooters or trying to discredit the Kings at all. No, no, no. They played fantastic basketball. They're a great team. They did a wonderful job getting looks. But I'm saying they knocked down shots that most nights they're not going to knock down on a consistent basis. Or if they had four guys who were all hot on any given night, like one of them, maybe two, is that hot. And that night they happen to have like four or five guys who were absolutely red hot. And I'm talking about the other guys outside of De'Aaron Fox. And of course, the other guy we need to talk about, and that's Domantas Sabonis. So those are the two things that are going to be really important for the Lakers on the offensive end. And then when you get stops, they're going to have to team rebound. The offensive glass for opponents has been a goldmine against the Lakers. They've really been struggling, especially it's the long bounces. That's something to keep an eye on. The long bounce three-point attempts that miss, and they wind up in that mid-range area, the area that Anthony Davis isn't going to be covering, the area where the guards, the wings, need to get involved. That's where teams are finding a lot of offensive rebounds against the Lakers. And typically, if you see this, offensive rebounds tend to lead to open three-point attempts. Your defense at that point is scrambled. A lot of guys are out of position once the shot goes up. And if the opponent gets the rebound, they move the ball quickly. They oftentimes find open three-point shots. And against the Kings, that's death. So you have to make sure that you are attacking the defensive glass, securing the ball, and not allowing a bunch of offensive rebounds, second-chance scoring opportunities. The Lakers are one of the worst teams in the NBA when it comes to giving up second chance points. So they're going to have to do a decent job cooling off the Kings there. Now, again, the Lakers offense has been fantastic. So that side of the ball is going to have to be good again in this one. We're going to need to see D'Angelo Russell cooking out there. Austin Reeves has been playing pretty well lately. You need to see him continuing to score the basketball. We need an aggressive D'Angelo Russell, an aggressive Austin Reeves, shooting the ball from outside, taking advantage of the looks that they're getting. Last game against the Wolves, I thought LeBron's ankle, did it look perfect? No, it looked like he was still a little bit gimpy there. You're going to need a pretty efficient game out of LeBron James. You need him distributing the basketball. That's going to be important. And the other guys have got to knock down shots. So we're talking about when Torian Prince gets in. Rui Hachimura, I think he's going to be extremely important with his combination of both shooting and size. Again, going back to the rebounding, Rui's going to have to be a factor there. He's 6'8 with a 7'2 wingspan, but there are some games where he just doesn't get you that many rebounds. This needs to be a game where Rui really utilizes his size. He's going to have to help clean up a lot of those mid-range rebounds. That's going to be really important for the Lakers. But no, the big battle, and it's the battle of the bigs, Domantas Sabonis and Anthony Davis. And look, AD got a ton of flack, a lot of people calling him out after that last loss to the Kings, and rightfully so. I thought AD got outplayed by Sabonis, and that's something that simply cannot happen. And that, again, has nothing to do with Sabonis as a player. He's fantastic, but Anthony Davis should be in a different tier than Sabonis. Not a lot. I'm not talking about a big separation between the two guys, but a little bit. And yet AD has struggled historically against Sabonis. It's just this thing that he can't quite seem to get past. And so in recent games, when they've played each other, Sabonis has outplayed Anthony Davis. That can't happen. That cannot happen. The Lakers, they have two of the best players in the NBA in LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Those guys need to be great. This team is built for them to be great. What you can have is you go up against an opponent that is better than Anthony Davis. No, the Lakers need an edge there night in, night out. That's part of the reason why they struggle when they play the Denver Nuggets, because Jokic is outplaying Anthony Davis. They need Anthony Davis to be the best big on the floor. The same is true when the Lakers see the 76ers when Joel Embiid is playing. If he's having a better night than AD, that becomes a problem. So it's a real issue when Sabonis comes out and it has a better night across the board than Anthony Davis does. This Lakers team is set up for Anthony Davis and LeBron James to dominate. AD has to give you a check mark in your column, because the Kings are going to have some other things that the Lakers don't. Their volume of three-point shooting is going to be higher than the Lakers, although the Lakers did keep pace with them last time around. The Lakers, for example, are going to shoot more free throws than the Kings do. The Kings have a much harder time defending without fouling than the Lakers do. So there's a check mark in the column of the Lakers. They should shoot more free throws on the night. But Anthony Davis simply has to have the better game compared to Sabonis. And there's going to be a couple of things that we need to watch for from AD. Number one, offensively, he needs to make sure he's attacking the basket, putting his head down. Sabonis is not a major shot blocker, but he does a nice job using his size positionally in terms of keeping you away from the spots you want to get to. Anthony Davis needs to put pressure on the rim and attack the basket, not settle for the pull-up jumper too often. That's also going to go hand in hand with the Lakers getting to the free throw line, especially putting the Kings in foul trouble early and often. The Lakers want to get into the bonus so they can get to the line when the Kings, with some undisciplined defense, tend to reach and tend to pick up fouls. That's going to be important for AD to put that pressure on the basket and make that happen. On the defensive side of the ball, you need Anthony Davis to pretty much be everywhere. And it's a tough, tough task to not only be out beyond the three-point line, to be defending Sabonis, but also be a rim protector, especially when you've got De'Aaron Fox, when you've got Malik Monk, who can get into the paint at a moment's notice. Anthony Davis did not like the Lakers' defensive schemes last time around. They're playing in this kind of soft drop coverage, and then AD was put in kind of no man's land, where if he goes out to challenge the shot, the other Lakers weren't tagging on Sabonis, and so it was just an easy drop-off pass for easy buckets, and the Lakers' guards just couldn't stay in front of Fox or Monk, and so then that puts AD in that tough position, and then he wasn't quite getting the help that he needs. So defensively, the team scheme has got to improve, but AD has got to figure out a way to do everything for this team. Once again, he's got to protect the rim. He's also got to be the guy out there on the perimeter closing out on Sabonis. But for all of that to happen, this is really the big thing here. He's got to stay out of foul trouble. Anthony Davis has been picking up two quick fouls way too often in games, oftentimes on silly fouls. We saw it against the Kings. It can't happen. He has to stay out of foul trouble, because here's the problem, everybody. Here's the real problem. Anthony Davis, when he picks up two fouls, he's a different player. He's a different player out there than what we typically see. He gets so concerned with picking up a third foul, and rightfully so, that he just starts to play Ole defense, right? He just lets guys go right past because he doesn't want to pick up that third foul. So he doesn't bother contesting as much as he would otherwise. And so it really turns the early foul trouble, it turns Anthony Davis into a different player. And I've already talked about how porous the Lakers defense is. Anthony Davis is the one stopgap right now. Without Jared Vanderbilt, with Cam Reddish's ankle still being a problem, without Gabe Vincent, without your guys that you were going to have to be defenders, AD has to bear a lot of the burden on the defensive end of the floor. And if he can't really contest the way he needs to, the guards are still going to be letting guys into the paint. It's going to become a field day for the Kings in terms of scoring the basketball. So it's important that Anthony Davis not get into foul trouble, not just because that's going to limit his minutes, not just because Darvin's going to pull him off the floor so he doesn't pick up a third foul, because it changes the player that Anthony Davis is. It changes what he does. It changes the way that he moves, the way that he defends. All of it gets shifted when he is in foul trouble. So that's going to be critical as well. AD has got to stay out of foul trouble. Defensively, he's going to have to be everywhere. He's going to need to be a beast on the boards, keep Sabonis off the glass as much as he can. And let's face it, AD, bottom line, he has to outplay Sabonis. If AD doesn't outplay Sabonis, this will be tough. This is going to be really difficult to get the win if AD does not outplay Sabonis. And I think at this point, he knows that. And at this point, we know AD hears the chatter that's out there. He knows what the reaction was after last game. So I'm looking for Anthony Davis to step up in a big, big way in tonight's game. All right, everybody. As I said, this is a big one. We need all hands on deck. Come join us tonight on Playback, playback.tv/LakersNation. Join us on the YouTube channel for our play-by-play, youtube.com/LakersNation. Hope to see you guys there. Big, big game tonight. Lakers-Kings. Get this win, and you can continue moving up in the standings. This will put, if you can win this tonight, and again, fingers crossed, hopefully the Kings lost against the Bucks in quadruple overtime, but if you can get this win, this would put you in position to potentially move up and get that 7 or 8 seed, which is going to be so important, I think, in the play-in tournament. All right, everybody, make sure you are subscribing to the Lakers Nation YouTube channel. Don't forget to follow us over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts as well. Till next time, see ya, and stay safe.